Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show. Today we're in Central Texas and we're visiting with Michael Scheer, who leads strategic office networks and really thinks about distributed processes, distributed workforce, and congestion. And I think we're going to talk a lot about congestion and the quality of life and the impact that it has that really goes downstream. So, Michael, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Justin.
So strategic office networks, I've recently come across some articles that you've written, but when I look at the maps and the pictures, you show a way to connect the towns around Austin and Central Texas in a new and innovative way.
Well, I hope it is new and innovative. A lot of folks will look at, I think, the approach that we're taking of creating this kind of fiber optic network across the region and perhaps observe that, well, gee, we can already do this. I would agree with that, we have the capacity to do it, but we really haven't assembled these networks for the kinds of requirements and the challenges that we faced in the 21st century. And what I've really advocated is that we have the technologies, and now it's time for us to really consider all of the ramifications that go with that and how do we best assemble ourselves to bring it into fruition.
So let's put it into something I can understand. And realistically, we have the ability to run fiber optic networks house to house, neighborhood to neighborhood. But what I think I understood from your articles is this is running not just fiber, but communications at large and really networking the workforce and ensuring that if you're a hospital, you have direct connection to other hospitals that isn't the standard internet lines that would be used in a home.
That's right. I mean, these are really about architecting specific use networks. We saw during COVID that there was kind of an awakening that we had these technology tools. They kept the economy running during the most difficult times that we had, and that it kind of forced us to now understand that the workforce that we have today has a different dimension to it. It presents us with a different way of connecting organizations, and it requires us to create a new physical approach to that. And while many years ago we had the creation of elevators and concrete and steel, which gave us the high-rise buildings that we've become so proficient at building, organizations made that transition from low-story facilities to high stories. What we're suggesting at this point is we've entered into an area where now those tools are about distributed processes. And we need to show organizations how to now go from those high stories to multiple locations in a more pronounced manner.
In past conversations, we've talked about that 60-floor high-rise instead becoming 10 six-floor office buildings in the suburbs and what that would do for a family's quality of life and what that would really allow the reality of being 5 or 10 minutes from work without that traffic burden.
You know, we have such an influx of people coming to Central Texas. We know we have issues of affordability of housing and availability. It's created this geographic expansion, a very rapid set of needs that we have. It's put pressure on our existing transportation systems and requires a great deal of money to continue to build out in that fashion. Today's economy, really requires us to be cognizant that as the demographics show us, as younger workers come into the workforce, that they're challenged with meeting, the affordability of all of this. Transportation is a big part of that. The dimensions of families is usually two income earners, which means that finding a location that's proximate to work opportunities for two wage earners is even more important. So the ability to now start to localize not just opportunities for working for different companies, but also to bring in a remote or distributed healthcare services, and the integration of distributed education, because the needs of today's and tomorrow's workforce is so much about how do we keep up leveling our skills and keeping ourselves educated with new technologies?
Well, that applies to the automated future as well, because having that dedicated communication and then having the intentionality of how do we work and then make it to soccer practice? How do we do all of the things that life is asking us to do within that 5 to 10 minute bubble of where you live can be very difficult in today's isolated, consolidated world downtown. But if it's distributed, it becomes much simpler. And I have to think that has an overarching efficiency gain or cost savings for the need to build bigger highways, the need to build bigger anything, because you're really just building more of it where it's needed at the edge.
In fact, a book came out this year called Overbuilt, The High Cost and Low Rewards of U.S. Highways. The authors found that after looking at 316 MSAs in the United States, that physically we have paved over approximately 22% of that landmass. The irony is that these are the most expensive pieces of real estate that we have, and we're continuing to concrete over them.
So what's the alternative, and how does that come back to what you're talking about with these distributed networks?
Yeah, well, it's really about trying to find a balance, a new equilibrium. The inner cities or central business districts have been dealing now since COVID with this occupancy questions. Many of the legacy buildings are not necessarily desirable at this point. So the newer buildings do seem to be occupied at higher levels. But the ratios of commuters to residences seems to be out of equilibrium. And so what we're finding is that we need to densify the central business districts with higher levels of residents, but to also understand that the complexion of the workforce is regional in nature. And so we're going to have to deal with how do we transform some of the suburban communities and how do we extend the opportunities out into the exurban and into the rural communities. And so the networks are the fastest way for us to go about that. We're investing a tremendous amount in doing that in the academic area, in the healthcare industry, and certainly for generic internet capacity. In fact, right outside my home this week has been Google trucks laying new fiber in our neighborhood. And that's all well and good, except it doesn't really reach the challenging part of how do we transform organizations themselves. Work from home works okay for those of us that have the ability to do that, perhaps not sharing with another person trying to make that work, and perhaps having the kind of tenure in organizations that permits that. But we have to be thinking about those that are entering the workforce and don't have those advantages.
Well, and I also think this involves city planning and development teams and is something we'd have to be thinking about at the greenfield more than we're going to go into an existing build. Is that right? It's better done now versus after the fact?
Well, I believe that's true. I think it's the least expensive portion of all of this is the planning and development part. The challenge is to gather folks who recognize that information and communications technologies is an integral part of our infrastructure and that we have to come up with a broader level of participation of planners and developers and able to really leverage the investments that we're making. Because we're putting tremendous amounts of money into these processes. So this is an ideal time to try to raise the level of awareness that we can do more with it than just stream videos and send emails and be on social media.
It turns out it's a place for work to occur. And that is big data. That's big transfer. But it's also a security concern for national security in some of these industries. Who are you working with in cities and in, the developer world? Is that a conflict with each other where they're trying to find efficiency, or do you see them broadly looking out that 30 or 50 years and saying, oh, we're going to build this city center as an automated, autonomous hub, and it's going to need these things?
Well, I think there are a few places where they are thinking out that far and recognizing that we don't get there by just building the kinds of things we did in the past. You know, our nature, if you saw the prize in economics that went to Joel Mowbray recently, it was for his research on looking at historically how the application of technologies in society, you know, and the adaptability of that provided growth and sustainable course of development. But what the Institute also pointed out was that typically what happens is that institutions become hardened, that there's a resistance point to change, and that innovation wanes. And what we're challenged with is to recognize that we've essentially entombed ourselves in a 20th century model, and now we're looking at how do we break through that into another dimension. So it does require going out to the individual cities and communities and elements within that, the control centers for EMTs and emergency dispatch. There's a lot of tie-in here because the more we have a workforce deployment strategy that at times that we need to deal with crisis circumstances, we aren't encumbered by people trying to evacuate areas. We already have a deployment strategy there. So that's an aspect of my work, is to get around to many of the fire and police chiefs and get them to recognize that the workforce is one of the areas that we really have an opportunity to improve our readiness.
Well, it does take everybody in this game. And when I think about how do we move data, how do we talk and connect buildings, I think of Google, like you mentioned, or AT&T, the co-op if you're in the rural regional areas. But that's not the sole responsibility. I think what I'm taking away is it takes everybody that's planning, everyone that's building, everyone that's producing in that region to think about how do we implement technology differently than we have. Because there are, in the smart home world, one of our biggest struggle was how do we get internet to this IoT sensor that's located somewhere in the house? Well, it's not as easy to run those wires or run those locators after the drywall is in. So when we're building houses now, we're seeing Ethernet ports in so many more places that surprise people, but it's because they're for industrial sensors or they're for other use, not just streaming Netflix and social media.
Well, and we also have the evolution of these technologies. Texas is one of the major areas for the data centers that are coming in. And of course, those are architected around specific uses. Some will be AI, some will be streaming, and some are social media operations. But we also see this evolution to the edge computing processes. And that's where the deployment of the workforce is synergistic with the evolution of edge computing. So there's a real opportunity to marry up these processes and their evolution in a way that really strengthens the resilience of the communities themselves. So it starts to build a higher level of confidence in the technologies, the reliability of communication systems across the region, and the protection of data and systems for employers, while also providing a higher level of protection for personal privacies in this kind of engagement.
It reminds me of a story. I worked at a co-op that served fiber and electricity to homes, and we would get phone calls that the TV stopped or that Netflix was out. And why isn't the internet working? Well, it turns out the power was out, so the router didn't work, so they didn't have internet. But that's a series of education that we've gone through in the last 3 to 5 years. That story is in the last two. But in the last 3 to 5 years, people have started, especially in Texas, realizing how important energy is. And they're talking about electricity in these data centers, and that's the big concern. But I would be thinking about the data and the pipes and how does that connectivity, is that a different bandwidth or is it a different set of pipes than what's at my home or what the general public uses?
Well, they are certainly in terms of capacity and in terms of the security in which they're Waze puts us back into the dependence on a major location to support processing needs. And again, that's why finding these balances is so important. The development of edge computing is a opportunity to start to mitigate the vulnerability of centralized processing systems. You know, we live in, particularly here in Central Texas, we have a military industrial complex. We have a large investment in chip manufacturing. In we have a major R&D university systems here. We certainly have military complexes, and we have the seat of state government. The topology that we have in terms of our reliance on transportation is so much linked to our capacity to keep I-35 operating that it really does make us what would be called a high-value target. And so we need to think in this day and age and the geopolitics of the moment, how do we engage in making our communities work and at the same time protecting ourselves from difficult circumstances? And those don't necessarily have to be nefarious. I mean, we have seen a lot of disruption from extreme climate events, or just accidents.
Just TxDOT.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's a willingness, I think, to start to look at these things only because we're now up against that real set of problems that if we don't open up these new forms of access, we're going to find that we start to stifle our economy because people will be less likely to want to move here, given some of the challenges of trying to get to and from work.
Well, and I want to go back to the urgency of this because we're building so quickly in Central Texas with the growth and with the expansion. But that does bring in the workforce concern of where does everybody go when they move here? There is an affordability concern, particularly around areas like downtown Austin, to where people are living an hour, hour and a half away because that's where they can find housing that works or fits their quality of life. But what I hear you saying is, let's take the work to them a little bit. You can put pockets of corporate need and corporate capacity in Luling, in Cedar Park, in other places that are not necessarily downtown Austin. But I bring up Luling because I saw this week they have a lot of space innovation work happening right there. And 20 years ago, we never would have thought that. But now they're connected through I-30 on the tollway. They're connected through the internet and through other modern terms to where you can be out there and have a great engineering role serving a bigger company, but living in rural Luling. And that's exciting. But I think the urgency is the city planners and developers that are building now need to consider that before they lay the pad site, before they go in and turn dirt. It is, how are we building this for the next 100 years?
Well, and we have this transformation process that we still have to undergo. And that is, we've got to show how these technologies, these new technologies, and you and I are using a technology which is actually 20 years old. The Skype was here two decades ago, and we rarely used it unless it was, out of necessity. And that's where we got into our awareness being raised during COVID. What folks perhaps miss is that there's a whole nother level of technologies which are sitting on the shelf or nearly on the shelf that can create higher levels of proximity, if you will, across distances. So this sensation that we have that we're connected is strong today, but the reality is in 3 to 5 years, the tools are going to be even more effective in terms of closing that gap or the sense that we're not in one place. So part of this is getting out in front with those organizations and those communities to start to say, okay, how do we build these enhanced facilities? And so the enhancement is really about the marriage of new architectural principles and advanced display, spatial acoustics, haptic response systems into the buildings themselves, and really understanding that we are in the 21st century. We have a set of 21st century tools, and now we have to learn how to impose those on our built environment so that we come up with better solutions.
You know, it might be a simple example, but there was a portal set up at the recent Christmas parade here, and it was a portal from our community to another community, I think in Ireland somewhere. But that's what you're talking about. It's that way of engaging two different spaces and feeling connected and feeling like you can communicate and be part of it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was a bit taken back by one of my colleagues' comments that they were so impressed that they were in a particular setting where the display itself was a full-size display, and they then recognized, well, that's even different than what I've experienced. So the marriage of these XR or extreme reality kind of technologies is just a glimpse of where we are headed. The question is, again, back to, you know, our desire to maintain this innovative process and cycle, is our willingness to be curious enough to start to bring these pieces together in a new way. And it on its surface, it tends to challenge the way we've done things in the past. But we recognize, I think, now that if we just keep building what we did, and this has been for years now, Texas Transportation Institute's note in the executive summaries is that we can't build our way out of these kind of growth problems.
Right. And where can people find more information about the work you do at Strategic Office Networks? Because I think if I'm a CEO looking to expand, or if I have a network of regional banks, this would be an interesting conversation for me. Where would they find more information about what you're talking about?
Well, I do most of my publication on LinkedIn. There is a Strategic Office Networks website for general information. It's at this point a opportunity to really bring in other resources and sponsors, if you will, to evolve into a new kind of entity. We've promoted the development of a regional network with a governance that allows communities to have greater participation on the use of that network for a variety of purposes. We've looked at how do we aggregate the investments around the real estate properties themselves so that it gives the communities access to capital to be able to do the kinds of investments that can make this possible. LinkedIn is the best way to reach me. Beyond that, as I said, I'm hopeful that we have some sponsors coming forward that would start to engage and take a position in these opportunities as well.
Texas will lead the forefront of this in the future because of our growth and because of the need for how do we change remote work into community work, into you're working in your neighborhood, but you're making a global impact in what you're doing. And I see that happening for some today, but creating an office environment where that could be for everyone, it could really be a game changer for our workforce.
And I think we need to recognize, too, that 50 years ago, 100 years ago, when you took a job with a firm, you could be employed there for 30 years, and that matched up very nicely with a 30-year mortgage.
Right.
We look at the duration of work with employers today, and it's perhaps 3 or 4 or 5 years. And so that puts investments in homes in jeopardy because workers don't have the confidence that they're going to have that job that long. And so this is a way to say, well, you can come to our community, and we have these highly networked centers and over 70 employers that are part of the networks so that as your job changes with an employer, you don't have to change communities. And I see that as another aspect of where we're going in terms of our economy and why we need to be really cognizant of how to deploy workers and work opportunities in a more appropriate fashion for the 21st.
Now is the time to act. I think your articles that you put out in January on LinkedIn are worth a read if you're someone looking at building or developing your company in Texas.
Well, I appreciate that prompt. I hope that people can either reach you or reach me if they need help in getting those. And this is really about collaboration. So the opportunity to come to the table and start to fashion from different perspectives how this might look is really appropriate. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share that with your audience.
Well, thank you so much for the time and thought you've put into this topic. I liked your last point around let's bring the work to the people instead of the people to the work. And that's going to give us more confidence in buying homes, developing infrastructure, and really building a city that's going to be there for a long time.
And taking the pressure off of our younger workers.
Absolutely. Bringing that idea of family and quality time back to the forefront of how people live.
Well, it's an idea, it's an intent, it's a vision, and if it's going to happen, it will take collaboration with a good number of people. So I really appreciate your involvement as well.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for your time today, for telling us all about this new way of thinking about developing. And we're excited to continue to watch Strategic Office Networks publish these ideas and gain momentum across Central Texas.
Well, and I appreciate the chance to share this Project ION vision and further discussions perhaps later.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us at the Building Texas Show. We're excited to share stories from across the state covering the future of work and what Texas is going to look like over the next 50 years. Please like and subscribe on YouTube.